We need something to see. Yes, we know that the Scripture says, walk by faith and not by sight. But boy, we sure like that sight, don't we? We love to have something to hang on to, don't we? And that has been the lot of human beings all the way down through history, ever since God first made man and woman. Let's read the first seven verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and to the great river, the Euphrates. All of the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful whatever, wherever you go. And we'll end our reading at that point. Do I have to tell you this next statement except to focus our attention? Life is a series of changes. In fact, if it wasn't for change, we would begin to worry, wouldn't we? How many of us would really think that everything was just peachy keeny going the way it should if we had a youngster that at age 15 still couldn't feed himself? Some of you probably at age 15 wish that they wouldn't feed themselves quite so well. But change goes on, doesn't it? We come into this world as babies. We learn to walk. We learn to talk. We learn to feed ourselves. We mature in many ways. We get bigger and stronger. Then after a while, we get so big and strong, we start to fall apart. We get big in the wrong places, weak in the wrong places. But change is still with us, isn't it? But one wise person said that change sometimes is an opportunity in its work clothes. Sometimes we have to do the work to make the most of that opportunity. Why is it that an unchanging God puts up with such changeable people? Why is it that an unchanging God allows such change to come into people's lives? Apparently coming into His plan for people. Well, I guess one of the things is because as human beings, we couldn't take all of His plan if He dumped it all on us at one time, could we? It would just completely do us in. We couldn't comprehend it. It would just take us down to rubble, we would say, I quit. I can't handle it all. So in His mercy, He gives us a little at a time. And that's where the change comes in. As He draws us on closer and closer to a more perfect plan that He has for your life and mine. Well, this change sometimes takes the form of changes that we really don't want. In fact, here's the children of Israel in the wilderness looking across the River Jordan toward that promised land. And it hasn't been all that many days ago that they were complaining to Moses, "Oh, what did you bring us out here for? We wish we were clear back in Egypt, where they had all the cucumbers and the lettuce and the leeks, and we were well fed and taken care of, instead of bringing us out here into the wilderness." They didn't like change any better than we do. But God had now led them down to the brink of the river. And He took Moses and showed him the land that the people were going to inherit. And He took them away from these people. Sometimes our beloved leaders move out of the picture for one reason or another. But there are many people who have touched your life. Many Sunday school teachers, preachers, friends, parents. People who have touched you in such a positive way to help you to grow to the person that you are. And in all honesty, we sometimes even grow from the bad examples that we have seen of other people, have we not? Oh boy, I never want to be like that one. Even that is a lesson for us, isn't it? But God now says, Moses, my servant, is dead. It's time for another change. A change of leadership. A change of your environment. The next step in my plan for you. And just like any change, they were afraid. They had become so used to living in the wilderness, so used to having manna fall out of heaven 6 days a week, so used to having their shoes not even wear out. What's it going to be when we go over on the other side of that river? They were full of apprehension. They didn't know what tomorrow held. And many of them got choked up on it, just like we do. When we look and we have plans for the future and the plans don't work out. Whenever we think we just have it all settled, we can sit down and rest. God usually has other plans for us, does He not? As one person observed, if you're the laurels that you're supposed to wear as a crown, if you're resting on them, you've got them on the wrong end of your anatomy. God doesn't permit that very long. Notice that God commended Moses for his faithfulness. He said, he was not your servant, he was my servant. He served you because he served me so well. He put his stamp of approval upon him. He put his stamp of approval upon the Ten Commandments and all the rules that he gave. He put his stamp of approval upon the tabernacle that was built in the wilderness. He put his stamp of approval upon those people who helped Moses. And it was from those faithful people that he chose the next leader. As you look back over the life of Moses, we find that there was a time in history when only two people really stood with him. A man named Joshua, and the other man, Caleb, who said, by faith we're able to go over and take the country. And the majority of the opinion said, oh no, they're giants. Oh no, it's not right. Oh, we'll fail. And it was from these faithful two people that God chose the next leadership. We can earn a place of service to God and to people by our faithfulness, by our obedience. Oftentimes, the day-to-day grind is an opportunity to grow in your spiritual life, to grow in your value to other people, to grow in your value to God, to gain experience in faithfulness in times that aren't so easy to be faithful in. He said, I brought you down to this point with Moses. But now, Moses, my servant, is dead. The past is behind you. You cannot change the past, and I will not change the past. Tomorrow is what we can go into with God. Think about it. Even He doesn't change yesterday. But He gives us the opportunity to follow Him or to fail Him as we choose into tomorrow. And they stood there at the brink. And God now put His stamp of approval upon Joshua. And He said this, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You personally, Joshua. Wouldn't it be wonderful if each of us could hear that voice? If we could know that God put His stamp of approval upon you, had a specific job for you, laid down the blueprint, wrote it out, and said, here, go do this. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I come to these forks of the road and I'm not sure which one to take, I wish I had such directions. Have you ever been there? Well, I see quite a few of you out there agreeing with me. I'm glad I'm not the only one here. But He said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Go over the river. Step into a new adventure. I promised it, and you're going to get it. It was a long time coming. I promised it to your forefathers when they left Egypt 40 years ago. In fact, think back. I had promised it to your ancestors over 400 years ago. When I brought Abram out of the land of Ur, and I said, this will be the land of your children. And one of your great ancestors believed that. And he said, when God delivers you from Egypt, take my bones with you in the casket. Don't bury me in Egypt. And the bones of Joseph were carried into the land as a testimony of God's faithfulness for over 400 years of promise that He believed. Do you believe the promise of God that He has a plan for you personally? Do you believe that promise of God that He has a plan in this community for Norwin Alliance Church? as a corporate body? Sometimes we don't see the next step. Sometimes we wonder. Sometimes we choke up. But a wise person once observed this. Sometimes when you're on the peak, the crest of a hill, and you want to make headway, you have to go through the next valley to get to even higher ground beyond. Sometimes we find ourselves in those places, do we not? As you are right now, in the transition between the leadership of the church. Maybe some of you feel like you're going through a valley. But let me promise you this, through the Word of God, there's a bigger, better, more challenging, more promising hill just ahead. As I was with God, God says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. As I have been with Pastor Wood, so I will be with you. As I have been with Jeff Norris, I will be with you. And I will be with the new leadership and lead you on in the plan of God to reach more people to build this church. Do you believe it? Are you willing to work for it? Are you willing to trust God for it? What did he say here? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Wow. Even whenever it doesn't seem like there's any way out. Even when it doesn't seem like our plans are working. We have done everything we can. We have tried everything that we can do. We have prayed. We have agonized. We've called committee meetings. Have we waited upon God? Just maybe His time schedule and our expectations are following two different clocks. Is it possible? Sometimes we get frustrated because what we want didn't work out. And God forgot us. Oh my! No, He didn't. He is very much with us. The same God that tells you when to move on is the same God who tells you when to sit still, be still, and know that I am God. I am an impatient person. I will be the first to admit it. And if I won't admit it, my wife will be here to tell you that I'm not telling you a tall story. The hardest thing I have to learn is not when to follow, but when to sit still and wait. I see too many sheepish grins out there. I think some of you have the same exact problem in your life, do you not? Let's get on with it. Time's a-wasting. It's not wasting when we're waiting for God's perfect time. God is moving behind the scenes. There are jobs that the congregation needs to do to help the leadership. There are things that the leadership has to do to help the congregation. As it was at one occasion when they were having a great battle. And as long as Moses held his hands up, Israel prevailed. But in his humanity, they would sink. Then the enemy would take over and struggle them up, and Israel would win. And it took a couple of people to set them down on a rock and put their hands up on their shoulders. and Israel one. To the point that the sun stood still. Are we holding up in prayer the leadership? I think we need to. Are we holding up the leadership by helping, by doing our part? We need to. It's our job as people following these leaders to support them, pray for them, encourage them. I know last week, all of us, every one of us, were so thankful for the talent. And I don't know of anybody who didn't thank Vicky and John for their wonderful talent that they displayed.
I'm jealous. Are you?
But God gives us each different jobs, doesn't He? But how often has it been that you have thanked Pastor Doug, Pastor Wood, or various other leaders for the good job that they have done? Boy, a pat on the back sure goes a long way. I'm going to give you some homework. Within the next 2 weeks, I want you to pat both of them on the back. Deal? I'd like you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. There's a passage over here that I think applies quite well here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 1 through 9. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual people, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you still are not ready. You're still worldly. Since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one of you says, I follow Paul, and another says, well, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? After all, what is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord had assigned to each his task. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither is he who plants nor he who waters anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. Lest we get too wrapped up in individuals. And believe me, I take great pleasure in so many good, godly people who stand up for the Lord. I thank God that there are courageous people who are able to stand up in public, that God has put them out in the public view. And maybe I don't agree 100% with everything that they do and everything that they say, but I thank God for people the likes of D. James Kennedy, Jerry Falwell, and many more. I don't leave somebody out, I'm not going to name any more, but you know who they are. There are people who are not ashamed to stand right up and call it for what it is, call sin, sin, and not back down from it. We need more people like that. We should be those kind of people. But right here among us, we have people who also serve God, who also take a certain amount of affliction and knocks for their stand for Jesus on a daily basis. Some of our young people right in school. Do we pray for our youth as they face the opposition that they go through? Do we pray for our families who go out and face this kind of opposition on a daily basis in the workplace? They are out there planting seed. They're out there watering God's harvest. Just as much as a pastor. Just as much as a Sunday school teacher. We are all God's fellow workers. Let's follow Jesus. Let's get in tune with His plan. We should be focused not so much on the relationship with an individual as we are on our personal relationship with Jesus Christ and what He tells you to do, what He allows the church to do. That is more important than the personality of the person, no matter how good or how rugged that individual might be. We need to follow God's timetable, God's plan. This church right now is standing on the brink of Jordan. There's something better right on the other side. And one of the key words in this passage, and Isaiah said it quite well in chapter 43, when you go through the waters, I will be with you. Even when you go through the fire, you will not be burned. The key word there is through Jordan, through the Red Sea, through whatever we have. God will be with you through the rough times, through the valleys. And it's only after we go through these things and are strengthened and our faith is encouraged that we're better able to enjoy the benefits on the other side. Are you ready for it? Are you hungry for it? Have you prayed for it? Are you willing for it to be something other than what you had personally planned it? That within the will of God, maybe I personally won't be fully satisfied, but the benefit of God's work here will be maximized only by God's plan, God's choice, and God's person. Let's dedicate ourselves to that premise. Shall we pray? Father, today we come before You asking that You will open our eyes to see the wonderful things You have done in the past. You encouraged the children of Israel to look at the past, to learn from the past, be encouraged by the past, all the wonderful things that You have done. You didn't bring them this far to abandon them on the brinks of the river. And You have not brought this church through the development process to this point of history to abandon them now. We feel, we have faith that You have greater things in the future. If we will follow You, encourage these people. May we each one individually dedicate ourselves to getting in tune with your plan, remembering that this is your work. Some of us may water, some of us may plant, some of us may plow, some of us may only pick and enjoy the fruit, but we each have a part in your plan. May we take ownership only in our part of it, that we don't try to take control of all of it, so that to you becomes all the honor and the glory and the praise. May this be our goal, each one. Amen.